I'm just so thankful to get an opportunity to speak to you guys. This is my third or fourth time getting to speak God's word to the church. I'm appreciative to have an opportunity to speak the word to you guys. And I want to let you know something, though. This is no more vamped up than any Wednesday night. I want to stress that every Wednesday, that when a youth comes in this building, this is the atmosphere of worship that is created. The messages are not toned down. We don't water down God's word. I'm sorry, but the word of God is not to put water in. It's solid. It's a solid rock upon which I build my life. And we don't, in a world that says, you can just talk about a scripture. No, we don't do that. And so I'm going to speak to you tonight as I would speak to the youth, as I spoke to you before. There's no difference in it. You know, some people are like, what are you doing there? Do you kind of do like a little lesson and have fun? No. Kids, a couple weeks ago, there were so many kids coming up to pray, they had to start kneeling down in the aisles because they couldn't even get to the altar. Kids' lives are being changed. But tonight, I want to talk to you about, there's something about that name. Ask Kristen, I know it was a little bit of change up to go from "you won't relent until you have my all" until "Jesus, Jesus." There's just something about that name. But tonight, I've been praying. God gave me this word a month ago, and I feel like it's tonight that he's wanting me to speak that there's just something about the name of Jesus that just changes lives. There's something about the awe-inspiring, powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, unshakable, true, peaceful, loving, caring, solid name of Jesus Christ that gets me excited. And in a world that puts the name of Jesus on cars and on t-shirts, but seldom knows the life that's represented by that name, tonight I'm going to tell you something. They might take him out of our schools, but they won't take him out of our hearts. And I'm going to tell you something. The same thing that ran through the apostles, the same thing that ran through the fires of revival in the early 1900s and 1800s, and in America, in this country, that same something is here and present tonight. It didn't change. And I'm going to just tell you some somethings about the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have PowerPoint. There were so many scriptures in this that I didn't even have time to put them up there. You know, I like speaking God's word because I know it's not mine. Let me tell you what. There's something about the name of Jesus Christ that came to this earth, that took on flesh and died for me. Because you see in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You see, there's something about the name of Jesus Christ that came to this earth and took my place, that God in heaven sent his only son to die for me so I don't have to perish, that I might have eternal life. Let me tell you, there's something about the name of Jesus Christ that gives me life because he came to die for me. There's something about the name of Jesus Christ that gives me life because he chose death so that I could have it. Let me tell you, there's something about the name of Jesus that makes me clean. There's something about the name of Jesus. You see in Matthew chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, it says, "So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, 'If I could just touch his robe, I might be healed.' Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, 'Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well.' In the moment was healed at that moment. You will see a woman marked unclean by society." You see, it's basically a 12-year menstrual cycle. In society, when people were marked unclean, they couldn't participate in regular activities with society. Everywhere she went, people knew she was unclean. But that day, something changed. But that day, something changed. But that day, something was different. Because you see, when Jesus showed up, a woman who walked in unclean walked off clean. You see, there's something about the name of Jesus that makes our hearts clean. There's something about the name of Jesus that makes me white as snow, though I was as scarlet. You see, there's just something about that beautiful, precious name of Jesus Christ. There's something about that name that gives me sight when I feel blind, when I feel like I'm living in darkness and a great light busts forth. It's because the name of Jesus Christ. Let the light of his face shine on us. You see, that song was talking about only when you let God's light shine on you can you shine it to others. I can't be a light unless I've spent time with the light. It's like a fire. Something can't be ignited unless it's touched the source of flame. So you're a piece of wood. You touch God's fire. You yourself have become a fire to ignite others. You see, there's something about the name of Jesus tonight that gives blind people sight physically and spiritually. Matthew 9:28-31. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" The Son of God saying, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord, I wish we had a church that just said, yes, Lord. I just wish that that was the words on our lips. When he called us to do something, we said, yes. We didn't question that the only thing that could come out of my mouth is, yes, Lord. You see, a slave doesn't have the position to question the orders of the master. So when Jesus tells me to do something, it is my duty to say yes, not why. Some of you parents in here are like, I wish my kids were like that. Say, my mom was like that at times. Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. And then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. And then their eyes were open. They could see. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone about this. But instead, they went and spread his fame across the region. You see, two blind men walk up to Jesus, never seen. They don't have sight in their eyes. But you see, there was just something about the name of Jesus Christ that when he stepped onto the scene, two blind men walk away with sight in their eyes. You see, there's just something about the name of Jesus Christ that when you feel like you're in darkness, when you feel all alone, that he waltzes right up to you in his beautiful, marvelous light. And all of a sudden you can see because the King was with you. And you see, he's not just a name. My God is not just a name on a t-shirt. He's the living Son of God who took a place for me. There was the something about his name that took my place. And he's the something that guides my life. And he's the something that's the Son of God who's living alive. And today you can go to other God's graves, but my Jesus' grave is empty. If you go to Jerusalem, it says, for he, what's it say, Grant? Tell us. On the graveside tomb. He's not here, for he's risen. My God's tomb says he is not here, for he is risen. Let me tell you something. His wonderful name, there's something about it. But let me tell you what, he's more than a name. He's the Son of God. I got a lot of notes, 7 pages. But most of it's scripture. And I put it at size 18 font so I can see and not get lost. It's a little secret. You're like, man, John's going to come up here and preach till 9 o'clock. No, it's just so I can see. You see? There was this man. He's laying beside a pool for 37 years. He's been there for such a long time. And you see Jesus walk up to him. It's actually 38, my bad. A man who's laying there crippled, who can't walk. But you see, there was just something about this name, something about the name of Jesus. When you're lying crippled physically or emotionally, that Jesus says, take up your mat and walk, and walking returns to your legs. I was in the country of Ecuador and blessed to see a child who was crippled, 6-year-old, his legs straightened out. He started walking when the name of Jesus was spoke. There's power in the name of Jesus. John 5:5-9. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he'd been ill for a long time, he asked them, would you like to get well? I can see this man. No, I've only laid here for 38 years. Would you like to get well? Yes, I would like to get well. I can't, sir. The man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets in there ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. Instantly the man was healed, rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. Let me tell you something. There is something about the name of Jesus Christ that gives walking ability, that makes lame people normal, that takes crippled situations, broken down situations and returns life to them. Let me tell you, there's something about the name of Jesus Christ that restores us. And I like this one. There's something about the name of Jesus that brings dead situations to life. I actually forgot to put the scripture references. Verse 38, I think, of John chapter something. Jesus was still angry. When he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone was rolled across its entrance. Roll aside the stone, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Like I said, if Jesus says it, do it. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. You see, when Jesus steps onto the scene, death doesn't have a hold anymore. When the Son of God, who rose from the grave on the third day, when he shows up, death doesn't have a right to remain where the presence of Christ is. So can I tell you something? Things might look dark. Things might look bleak. You might be looking dead physical situations and emotional situations in the face. But you know what? Jesus says, roll aside the stone. Life's going to happen in a dead place. And I've got to acknowledge the fact that when I feel dead and dry, Jesus has life for me. That when I feel beat down, And I feel like I've been living in darkness and things stink and smell bad and everyone else says, oh, no, leave it back. Things can't get better. I say, you know what? I have a God who's in the business of bringing dead things to life. Tonight, let me tell you what, the power to see people raised from the dead didn't stop. And I believe that if someone fell over dead in this church, we could pray for them. And if the name of Jesus, they would rise from the dead. You said, John, you sound like you're off TV. Let me tell you what, I believe it. I'm foolish enough to believe that when a kid walks in here with leukemia, it doesn't have the right to stay anymore, because where Jesus is, death can't be. Where my God who's alive is, death can't remain. Let me tell you something. There's something about the name that brings life to dead situations. And can I tell you what? There's something about the name of Jesus that makes demons run in fear. I don't know about you, but my war isn't against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And I recognize that there's spiritual warfare, but I also recognize that my God is big and Satan is small. That my God is a big God and my Satan is an illegitimate power. He walks around like a lion. Like. Satan has legitimate power. But the question is, are we going to listen to his roar, or are we going to follow the line of the tribe of Judah? Let me tell you what, Matthew 8. 15 through 17. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. The word says he cast the demon out. Now see, we've actually saw some spiritual warfare take place, and I thought it kind of curious that it was in the youth. I honestly said, Satan, obviously God's doing something, or else you wouldn't be intimidated. I'm fully convinced that Satan doesn't mess with people who aren't threats for the kingdom. I know that God is doing something because we've seen backlash in the spiritual. But we have some warriors here. You ladies, I appreciate you. And it means a lot to me when I have people say, you know, we've been praying for the kids. You know, we've been praying for the kids. John, I've been praying for you. And I fully believe that God's move is supported by the prayers of the saints. And it's going forth because some people a long time ago started praying. And I believe there was prophecies and words spoken. And a lot of people said this church was dead. People told me when I'm coming here, John, that church is a dead church. It faced these big problems. But you know what? I recognize in Habakkuk 2, 2, and 3, though the vision tarries, wait, for it will surely come. My vision is here. God's vision is here. The fire is here. Revival is here. God is doing something. I take services where pastor doesn't even have to preach. A couple weeks ago, people are coming up here, giving their hearts to the Lord. No one even talked to them. I guess it's just God's spirit to draw, man, you know. It's awesome that when we don't have to say anything and God just does stuff. And we sit back and we say, good Lord, what happened? Well, some people prayed. For the effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Can I tell you something? There's still power in prayer. It moves mountains. A little bit of faith can shake a mountain still. Nothing changed from then to there. Jesus says you're going to do greater things. The question is, do we choose to take them? This word in the Greek says Jesus cast out demons. This word in the Greek literally means this. To cast out, drive out, to send out with a notion of violence. I heard C.L. Lowry, he got to teach one of my classes the other day. And he said, when you deal with Satan, you don't treat him like your mother-in-law. You walk right up to where he's at. You grab him by the seat of his pants and throw him out. Because Jesus cast him out violently. He is a force that is unequal to Jesus Christ. My God, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ today. And demons have to go. And you know what the next meaning of this word is that I find amazing? That when Jesus shows up, the demonic has to run. It actually means this. To be deprived of the power of influence he exercises in the world. So when Jesus Christ shows up, the demonic, the enemy, doesn't have the right to exercise power over you, for he's cast down violently. Let me tell you, there's something about the name of Jesus that makes the powers of darkness run and hide. There's something about the name of Jesus that strips all darkness of its power and the light shines forth. But he's so much more than a name. So much more than a name. There's something about the name of my Jesus that even Satan himself has to take a knee and worship to. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says this, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor, this is Jesus, and gave him the name above all other names, the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Can I tell you something? That every knee has to bow in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. So I recognize when I utter the name of Jesus Christ, powers fall down in worship. Angels fall down and say, holy, holy, holy. And Satan himself has to take a knee to the glory of God, for he is not anything but an illegitimate power. My God is the power that moves in me, and I'm no longer bound by the chains of sin. I'm a saint through God's glory. He changed me. And I know, I recognize, I'm not saying that there's not power in Satan. Oh, yeah. How much power do you let him have, though? It bugs me when I've stepped into churches before and heard, well, how much Satan has just beat me down. Okay. You never mentioned Jesus' name. I heard his name. And I'm not saying that's a rock against you, but I'm saying the point in which we glorify us beating down more than Jesus upholding us, we have a problem. The Bible talks about in the book of Psalms, though we may fall and though we may stumble, we will not utterly fall, for he upholds us with his right hand. It's in Psalm 37. That word upholds literally means to lean and rest upon. I taught about this at Lee recently. So that means you cannot fall. Though attacks might come, you might stumble, but you can't fall when you're a Christian because you're leaning on Jesus. And I know he's not going to move. There's something about that name that loved me so much. He didn't just come to the earth. He took a cross. And he died for me so I didn't have to. Isaiah 52:14. Forgive me if this bugs you. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. I'm sorry. That movie that Pastor and Miss Vicky had shown did some good and showed us what it was like, but I don't think it's touching it. My Jesus isn't some guy just kneeling in the garden. He went to a cross, and the Bible says his face was so disfigured, you could scarcely know that was even a person on that cross. I see his face ripped off. Hey, it's worth it. He didn't quit when the cat of nine tails struck his back when they put him on the cross. He didn't quit to the point that one would scarcely know that was a human being on the cross. Till it was done. Till it was done. There's something about the name of Jesus that takes a cross so we don't have to. There's something about the name of Jesus that chose death so we could have life. But he's so much more than just a name. He's the God who died for you and me. There's something about that beautiful name that walks in my foolish mistakes and says they're covered in the blood when I'm wallowing in them. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. Your identity is not a stained sinner. Your identity is a blood-washed saint and a child of the Most High God. I know for a long time we put bumper stickers on the back of our cars. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I'm not a sinner anymore. My identity is a son of the Most High God. My identity is a blood-washed saint. It says, though my sins were as scarlet, I have washed them as white as snow. So I recognize one day I was a sinner lying in the midst of the mire and clay, wallowing in myself, making fun of Christians to their face. But this Jesus guy took a cross and his blood washed me as white as snow. For sin had left a crimson stain. There's something about the name of Jesus whose blood washes us white as snow, who takes stained sinners and turns them into blood-washed saints. Can I tell you, and I'm on the last page, by the way, there's something about the name of Jesus that sends a comforter and fills me up. Jesus didn't just stop at the cross. Jesus didn't just stop at rising. No, my Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. You see, there's something about the name that doesn't just leave his people and say, okay, my work is done. No, his work is ongoing through the redemption of all of us. John 14:15, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. There's something about that name of Jesus that says, I'm going to send a comforter. There's something about the name of Jesus that gives us the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos in Greek, the one who literally walks beside, who goes with us. There's something about the name of Jesus that sends his Spirit to comfort us and guide us and fill us up so we can be used for his glory and fill us with power. You see, there's something about the name of Jesus whose work doesn't stop at the cross. It continues forth as he walks with us. In Isaiah chapter 7, it talks about he's an Emmanuel. That word literally means the one who walks with us. I'm telling you, you've got a God who walks with you, who doesn't also just say he's walking with you. He's going to come in you and fill you up with his Spirit if you choose to take it. Can I tell you what? There's something about the name of Jesus that fills us up, sends a comforter, and gives us power to do God's work. There's something about that name. And I like this one. There's something about the name of Jesus that sets the church on fire. Something about that name. Something about that name. The kings and kingdoms will all pass away. There's just something about that name. Can I tell you something? In Luke chapter 25, verses 28 through 32, by this time, it's the story of the walk to Emmaus. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus in the end of their journey, and Jesus acted if they were going on. But they begged him, stay the night with us since it's getting late. So he went home with them. And as he sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he spoke and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Didn't our hearts burn within us when he walked with us on the road? Can I just say something? He walked with him all the way home. Can I tell you that Jesus is going to walk with you till you make it home? He doesn't stop. He walks with you till you make it home. Till your eyes shut. And on that great day, you open them up and you see glory. 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, for then we shall see as we are now seen. That day when I see my Jesus as he sees me, he's going to walk with you all the way home. But right now, there's something about that name. There's something about the name of Jesus that sets hearts on fire. That when Jesus shows up, how can we not burn for him? That when Christ shows up, how can we not go for him? That when Christ shows up, how could we not burn so the world could see? How could we stay where Christ is and not be changed by him? I don't understand that. How many times have we been in services where the fire of God has swept through him and we went home and the next day we were the same as the day before? How many times have we seen busts of revival but it hasn't carried forth? I'm telling you, God is in the business of remaining fire. He's in the business of starting something that's not going to stop in a month. I'm telling you, we're in the midst of something big here. In a church that people said was dead, I've got news for them. I don't care what the world thinks. For my opinion, it does not rest my life's, my character does not rest upon what the people say about something. I determine my life upon the word of God, not the word of men. It talks about the Pharisees being disproved because they love the praise of men over the praise of God. I've got something to tell you. There's something about the name of Jesus that sets hearts on fire. You see, when you spend time with Jesus, I'm fully convinced that you can't help but get fire in your heart. How could you spend time with the Lord Jesus and not get his heart and not get his passion and not get his desire and not get his unction to go? Can I tell you something? There's something about the name of Jesus that still sets churches on fire. Acts chapter 2, you see a busting out of an upper room and a huge revival. 3,000 people get saved. Tongues of fire set upon all these men and the church was birthed in that day. But I've got something to tell you. That same fire that burned upon Pentecost is here. And when we spend time with that name, that man, that son of God, how can we not catch on fire? I believe Jesus Christ is raising up a generation of people who are on fire, who's igniting fires that had once dwindled to little lights and making huge fires in the hearts of men and women. When we spend time with Jesus, there's something about that name that we spent time with that sets us on fire. I'm excited. If you didn't see that, be surprised. Jesus' name has all this power. All this power. Eyes open. Lame walk. Deaf hear. Lame people. Crippled people. Their legs are straightened out. And the ability to walk is restored.
Dead people are raised. Hearts are saved. Churches are set on fire. The Spirit is given. The Comforter is with us. The power is present. Demons run from it. Satan can't stop from taking a knee to it. The world tries to throw it away, but people's hearts still chase after it with vehement passion all across the world. There's something about that name, but that means all nothing if it's not something to you. Can I get everyone to stand up in the band to come to the stage? He can be the healer. He can be the dead raiser. He can be the one who casts out principalities and powers. He can be the one who restores life to dead situations. He can be all these things. But the question is he something to you? Because there's something about that name. You see, I tell the youth kids, I say, I guarantee you one conversation with God in your life. I guarantee every person across eternity will one day speak with God. The question is, where are you going to spend the rest of your time after your conversation? Guys, tonight, you guys ready to play? As we close out. There's something about that name that's fresh. The awe-inspiring, all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-comforting, unshakable, powerful, true, fire-igniting, truth-walking, the one who's always with us, the comforter, the peace, and the joy of our lives. But the question is he something to you tonight? Is Jesus more than a t-shirt? Is Jesus more than a guy who lives on your dashboard and head bobbled? Is Jesus more than a name? I don't want to know if he's in your head. I want to know if he lives in your heart. Because all these somethings don't happen until he gets something in here. Tonight, if there's any of you people across this room who are maybe dealing with some of these things, dealing with dead situations, and you want that something to ignite in your life, I believe he's waiting on you. He knocks at the door. The question is, do we answer? And if anyone needs prayer, don't wait. I'm not going to say, shut your eyes and bow your head. If you want to pray, just come on up here. There's people who love you and care about you and who put their money where their mouth is. If you have a need, if you have an issue, just go ahead and take a step on out of your seat. It takes so much faith to do that. Tonight, there's something in that name that shakes death away that the darkness cannot comprehend.